It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to more than 500,000 registered off-road vehicles, more than any other state. That includes all-terrain vehicles, or ATVs, and utility terrain vehicles, or UTVs.
And newly released numbers from the State Department of Natural Resources show most of the 29 people killed so far this year in crashes were not wearing seatbelts or helmets and had never completed an off-highway vehicle safety course.
Jake Holzclaw is a conservation warden with the Wisconsin DNR, where he oversees the off-highway vehicle program. He joins us now for a look at ATV and UTV safety in Wisconsin. Jake, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
ATVs, they've evolved over the decades. UTVs came on the scene with people sitting side by side. What are the capabilities and uses of these machines?
Well, it's a big variety. I think most folks nowadays are using them recreationally. They're using them on the trails around the state. They're using them on the road routes. But they're also used around farms, different properties around the state for utility purposes. So I know folks will use them on the ice for ice fishing, and there's a wide variety of reasons folks are going to have these machines.
And you've seen some growing numbers of the registrations for these off-road vehicles?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the last 5 years have probably been the biggest uptick in registrations, particularly on the UTV side. The UTVs are just becoming very popular. If I think for most people, they're more comfortable, they're more convenient. I mean, you have enclosed cabs, some of them have heat and air conditioning. And so, plus they can haul more if you're looking at them as purely a utility vehicle around the farm or around the back 40. They can haul pretty heavy loads. They can tow trailers. And so, yeah, they become very popular.
Why is Wisconsin reporting what seems like a high number of crashes compared to any other state?
Well, it's hard to say. I think there's a lot of factors here. Like you mentioned earlier, we do have the greatest number of registered machines that we're aware of any state in the country. So the sport's very popular, and the more people that you have involved in it, unfortunately, there is going to be the more chance that they could be involved in some serious incidents. But, that's something that we're really focused on, is that safety aspect.
People born before 1988, they aren't required to take a safety course for UTV, ATV operation. What do these numbers tell you by way of, fatalities and people who have taken a course versus not taken a course?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is a pretty interesting trend. It's pretty telling, and that's that the majority of our folks that are involved in fatal crashes or serious injury crashes have not completed a safety course of any kind. And like you said, folks that were born before January 1st of 1988, they're not required to take that course, but everybody after that date and time is required to take that course to operate on public lands and trails. So I think there's definitely a connection there.
What is the reason for that year, 1988? And do you foresee that changing at all to make these courses more of a stipulation in order to ride these vehicles?
Yeah, the reason for that year is my understanding, and this is before my time in the seat, but they had to pick a time frame back when the law went into effect. So they had to pick a date where that started. And that January 1st, 1988 date was picked. The idea then is that eventually everybody will have to complete that course. It's going to take a number of years, but we already have adults now, folks in their 30s that are required to take the class. So it's that's the idea behind it, is that eventually everybody will have to take it. And then it's basically considered your, quote, driver's license to operate an ATV or a UTV.
How does alcohol impairment affect what you're seeing in these numbers?
Well, it does. It affects it about 40 to 50%, depending on the year, maybe even sometimes trending a little bit higher. We're looking at that, we look at the fatalities, and 40 to 50% are going to have alcohol or some kind of drug involved in that fatality. And so it just is a really good reminder to folks that just like motor vehicles, just like cars and trucks, your best practice is to wait to drink alcohol until you're done riding for the day.
I've heard you say the word trend here a couple times. I'm wondering, how are this year's number of fatalities so far comparing to past years of Wisconsin data? Do you see any trends emerging?
Well, the one I compared this year's numbers to last year. So in 2025, around the same time frame, we had 26 fatalities. And now this year, we're trending closer to 30. So we are a little bit ahead, unfortunately, of last year. And it's hard to say why that is. I mean, we've definitely had wardens and deputies out there working the trails and trying to keep people safe and making those contacts and making those educational stops and issuing citations when need be. It's like I said earlier, it's very popular. It's a very popular sport. And so us just trying to get the word out there, like even talking on your show here today, this morning, just letting more people be aware that these machines can be very dangerous if folks don't have the right training and they don't have the right safety equipment.
Jake, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jake Holzclaw is a conservation warden with the Wisconsin DNR, where he oversees the off-highway vehicle program, talking about fatal ATV and UTV crashes in Wisconsin so far this year. Now for a look at efforts to educate Wisconsin riders on safety, we're joined by Randy Harden, president of the Wisconsin ATV UTV Association. Randy, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
What kind of work does your association do to help prevent these crashes and fatalities?
Yeah, our organization, you know, working in consultation with Jake and his team and other sheriff's departments, we really focus on communicating to the masses, if you will, through our clubs. We have about 125 to 130 local chapters. Many of them have safety instructors. We have our trail ambassador program. We're out on the trails and route systems doing our welcome centers. So we're trying to take that effective communication down at the rider level. It's disappointing when we see these numbers because really, as Jake said, the solutions are fairly simple, but people have to want to make some slight changes in their riding habits and their thought process of wearing seatbelts. And although it's not required by law to wear helmets once you're 18, it's sure recommended. And then getting training. And a lot of the folks, Beatrice, you know, you talked about the 1988 date for the younger generation, mm-hmm. but older folks that have come in their 50s, 60s, 70s, they may be the first time that they're doing an off-highway experience in an off-highway vehicle. So we have a different approach when we're trying to reach that segment versus the younger crowd. So it's a combination of things.
You mentioned volunteer trail ambassadors. What is their role? What do they do?
Yeah, we're out interacting with the riders. We do that through, like I said, actual, you would call it a patrol. We're not law enforcement, but we're out and about. We're highly visible, vests on, often stopped at a corner somewhere, or we have a large trailer that's visible. We have easy up pop-ups, and we offer, you know, where to ride, ask questions, that kind of stuff. So people come in and ask that question. It's really a good casual context to get into the conversations we need. And our goal is hopefully to help them spread the word with their friends and riding partners as well.
How about youth? What kinds of unique risks do young people face riding ATVs, and how do you work with young people to keep them safe?
That's a great question. One of the biggest problems we have is underage or undersized kids on a machine that's too big for them, and they don't have the experience. We've been partnering up with the Ride Safe Foundation, which is a national organization, going into school systems, spending a day or two with literally thousands of kids to talk about what we call 5 red flag warnings, you know, the size of machine, get training, don't ride on roads, you know, when you're younger and you're not eligible, wearing the right gear, that kind of stuff. So it's a multiple approach. It's crazy how many kids don't know the basics.
Hmm. I want to talk about alcohol for a moment. The public health tracking data, it says, you know, people in Wisconsin drink more alcohol than in most other states. some of these fatal accidents involve alcohol. Does ATV, UTV culture in Wisconsin involve drinking alcohol? What is your organization doing on this front?
Yeah, some of that, you know, I guess the reputation I hear and see is that, you know, the trails, like snowmobiles go bar to bar. Well, it's not necessarily tavern, but where we're riding out in the woods, there aren't many other businesses. And as we know up north, some of the places they serve alcohol, they serve food, their grocery store, their post office. So it doesn't mean that people are necessarily drinking when they're in there, but there are certainly cases, as Jake mentioned, where people unfortunately do drink and they shouldn't be during and before they go riding. So we have really been focusing on that a lot as to how to get people to want to change their habits on that. And it seems like it's, you know, it's in automobiles, it's in boating, it's in snowmobile, ATV. We all have that same issue. It's I hate to say it's a Wisconsin problem, but it is.
Randy, as we close here, you know, people born before 1988, they are not required to take a safety course for ATV operation. Would your organization, would you support requiring everyone to take a safety course to operate one of these vehicles?
We're actually working on some concept legislation right now, and we're differentiating between road routes and trails. Mm-hmm. And trails are one aspect we need to focus on, and the 1988 date seems to work for that. But we have a significant number of road routes, over 65,000 miles of road routes. It's about 60% of the roads. So we're working together to come up with a plan to stabilize, I guess I would say, the criteria needed to operate on road routes. We're hopeful we can get that through.
Randy, thank you for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for helping spread the word.
Randy Hardin is president of the Wisconsin ATV-UTV Association, talking about his organization's efforts to educate riders on safety to prevent fatal crashes. Earlier, we heard from Jake Holzclaw, conservation warden with the Wisconsin DNR, overseeing the off-highway vehicle program.